out, amen. So leave after the service and ask you to pray for us tonight. We preached last night. I don't know how good my throat is tonight. And Brother Toby said, maybe I burnt my throat. I won't preach too long. I said, I think I strengthened it last night. We preached an hour. And I preached last night. And out of Matthew, chapter number 21. I preached on hell last night. And Brother William, I had us a good message laid out for tonight. I've been studying. And I was going to preach tonight on the grace of God. And the Lord said, preach on hell again. And I said, well, I don't want to preach on that again, Lord. And for some reason, the Lord let us go back. And I want to preach tonight out of Luke, very familiar scripture, chapter number 16. Very familiar story on the rich man and Lazarus. I guess everybody here has probably heard this, but I must mind the Lord tonight. And 15 years ago tonight, I stood my first time, preached my first message. Preached out of the book of Mark on the mercy of God and begged sinners to get right with God. The message ain't changed none, friend.
Amen.
And I'm still begging sinners to get right with God tonight. 15 years down the road, my message ain't changed, Brother John. I'm still begging sinners to come to Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at the gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And said in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, said he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Said, for I am in torment in these flames. You can be seated tonight. I feel like folks left this morning, Brother John. I don't know, the Lord, I appreciate the Lord working this morning in the altar call in the way that he did. And I thought, boy, so many people seem to get some help this morning. But I still feel like folks left or done business with God this morning. Lord, dealing with hearts. Didn't even have to look around the building. I just felt like the Lord was dealing with people's hearts this morning as they left the service. And so many times we come in, Brother Matthew, and I feel like we turn the Lord deal with hearts. And so many times they come service after service and turn the Lord away again. And I wonder how many times God's going to continue to deal with hearts. Amen. Deal with people. Men, women, boys, and girls. Amen. And I want to look tonight, take you for a little journey, borrow your imagination for a little bit tonight, and take you down the road for a little bit tonight. I want to look at the picture tonight. I feel like, I know if you go and check in the motel, amen, they have a bellboy there that'll take you and show you around and take your baggage and unload your car for you and put everything up. And I've always got the bellboy there to show you around if anything you need tonight. So I want to just take a picture tonight. It's a bellboy, amen, and take a trip down the road and look off in that hell. I told the men last night, Brother David, if I could open and pull a lever right here and let everybody walk by and look over the rail and look down into hell, amen. Friend, it'd change our attitude about sinners, amen. I believe it'd get our attention tonight. I believe we'd hear the screams out of eternal darkness, friend. And somebody said, well, preacher, old sinners, we know it's going to hell, but I'm just convinced there's a lot of folks that's sitting on the church pew today that's dying and on their way to hell. It's been members of a local church, amen, like you and I attend every day, friend. And somebody said, well, preacher, I feel like it's just those churches that don't preach against nothing, amen. Somebody asked Joel Osteen, said, what do you think about hellfire brimstone? He said, well, we just don't go there, amen. And Brother Jeff, I'm convinced the reason a lot of folks is going there because preachers ain't going there, amen. I mean, it's not a popular message in the day that we live, and it's not a popular thing to preach on, amen. And you hear very little preaching on hell anymore. I thought about some of the old time preachers, how they said some of them would preach, and I thought how that they said you could hear the floor cracking, amen. I thought about as they preached on hell, and they preached. I mean, when I was just a little boy, it was nothing uncommon to go to church, and a preacher somewhere was going to preach on hell nearly every Sunday, amen. I mean, we hardly ever hear it anymore. They don't even want to talk about it. They want to call it a different name or call it Hades, amen. But friend, the Bible still speaks of a place. eternal torment and eternal darkness. And the Bible said, describes the place as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. And I thought about here tonight. I thought, I want to look tonight and let the bellboy of hell just take us for a little trip and look off into hell for a little bit tonight and see what we find in hell. Amen. I've ever preached a more serious message. It's a message that I want to preach tonight, Brother David. I desire your undivided attention. Amen. I thought about tonight. I please don't let your kids run around. And if you got to go to the bathroom, please try to hold it after service. There may be somebody sitting next to you tonight that needs not to be distracted, and they need to hear the message from the man of God tonight. I thought about tonight if the bellboy of hell could show us, take us down through hell and show us some things tonight. I thought about maybe what would he show us tonight? What kind of pictures would we look at? What kind of places would we look at? And I thought about here, he may let us look in tonight, hearing maybe some different places in the crevices of hell. Amen. What will we find there, Sister Betty? I thought about what we find. I believe we'll find the reprobate in hell. Amen. I thought about Romans chapter number 1. I talked about the reprobate where God would turn them over to a reprobate mind. Those that took things in their own hands. Amen. And those that blotted God out of their mind, friend. Oh, dear God, I thought about the day we live of folks rejecting God and turning Him away. And the man of God stands and preaches time after time and day after day and Sunday after Sunday and service after service. Amen. Then they'll turn God away and walk away with a smirky grin on their face. And then one of these days it'll be too late when you turn the man of God away for the last time, friend. I'm telling you, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. And friend, withdraw His Spirit from you and your soul will be in danger of hell. Amen. Oh, I'd hate to know I'd went in that kind of shape. I'd hate to know that I thought that I turned God away so many times. Friend, let me remind you of one thing tonight, that God does not owe you a second chance. Amen. He don't owe us the first one. Amen. And, but I'm telling you, God in His infinite mercy looks down and gives us time after time again. I thought about so many times that the Lord dealt with my heart as a young boy. Brother William was preaching tonight. I got born again. Amen. I thank God for the man of God. Brother William, I love you tonight. I thank God for the man of God that stood and swung me over hell that night. And I'm telling you, it showed me the condition of my soul that night. And I knew if I didn't get right with God, then I was on my way to hell. Amen. I thank God for the man of God that preached the truth unto me. And I'm telling you tonight, we better be careful. This thing called conviction power, because God does not have to send it. Amen.
Amen.
God, I believe we look tonight. I'm a reprobate. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, God will deal with you in so long, and after that, He don't have to deal with you but one time. He don't have to do it then, but He promised one time He'd deal. There come a time, I believe every woman, man, boy, and girl, there comes a time that somewhere in their life that the Lord will deal with their heart. Amen. Draw them with conviction power, Brother Robbie. And I thought about, oh, dear God, and if God takes that time to draw you with conviction power, friend, don't turn Him away. Don't shun the good conviction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, how precious it is that God would take time to convict us, Brother John. And friend, I'm telling you, if God, I've seen both over and over and over again. We was in a meeting one night, and I've told this before. I was in a meeting, Brother Eddie White was preaching a revival for me when I was pastor at Trinity Baptist Church. And there one night after service, I believe it was on a Wednesday or Thursday night, a man called me and said, I got a friend that wants to, he wants to talk to you. And said, he's been a deacon of the church for many years. They ordained him many years ago. And late that night, it was about 10 o'clock that night, we got to call him. Hadn't been home from revival just a little bit. And said, this man needs to talk to somebody real bad. I said, we went over to the man's house and sat down, me and Brother Dorothy Roberts, Brother Eddie White, and we went there and sat and talked to the man that night. And he said, preacher, I'm just going to lay it on the line for you. He said, I've known for some time now. He said, I've been a deacon of the church for several years. He said, but I've known for some time now that I'm not right with God. I've never really been saved. The Lord's convicted me. And he said, you know, I said, I've used the deacon thing as a church, amen, as a front. an amen. And I thought about it. He said, I just used that as a front for the church. And I've been really sort of ashamed. I thought if I'd come down and get right with God, people would laugh at me. And he said, I've turned it away. And week after week, God would deal with my heart. And he said, I've turned it away and turned it away. And he said, now I feel like God turned me over to a reprobate. Amen. And he won't deal with my heart anymore. He said, I try to pray and I try to pray and I stay up all night long. I lost my appetite. And he said, God won't hear me no more. And I thought we prayed to 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going out praying and begged God and pleaded God how to touch that man's heart. He said, preacher, I don't feel a thing. He said, I don't know what to do. I'm miserable. I looked at that man. I said, sir, I don't know if God's turned you over to reprobate mind or not, but if he has, you better enjoy what days you got here left. And I'm telling you, you better enjoy the very few days you got left. You better hope you live to be 100, 200 years old. Because friend, your days is numbered. Because destruction's coming down the road. If that's the case, my friend, there'll never be another opportunity for you to get right with God because you've shunned the good grace of God. Amen. He shows us the reprobate tonight. Oh, dear God, I'd hate to know I was in that shape. Friend, I wouldn't care what kind of position you held in the church. Amen. I wouldn't care what kind of title you held down at the house of God. Well, there'll be a lot in that day. I thought about, there'll be a lot of them say, Lord, Lord, is not enter in. Amen. Friend, I'm telling you, whatever kind of title you got, whatever kind of position you got, you better not let that stand in the way of you, thank God, of coming to church and coming getting right with God. Amen. And I'm telling you, one of these days, I'm just convinced there'll be a lot of folks die and go to hell. The deacons, preachers, preachers' wives, deacons' wives, the lay members of the church, Sunday school teachers, piano players, those that's played the instruments, those that's held titles and held jobs, help the house of God. Amen. I'm convinced there'll be a lot of them that God will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Amen.
Amen.
I believe he shows us the reprobate tonight. Then I want to say tonight, I believe we'll move on a little further. I thought the bellboy of hell takes us a little further down into the pit. Brother William, I thought some other things that he might show us. Amen. I believe he not only shows us the reprobate, but I thought about he may show us the rebellion. Amen. The house of the rebellion, or the room of the rebellion. Amen. Well, I thought tonight, well, a lot of folks said, well, preacher, I tell you, I've got it figured out, and I've got it all on my own, and I don't need God, I don't need nobody, and I just do my own thing. And I've heard a lot of them say, well, I'm just going to get out, and I'm going to sow my wild oats. That seemed to be the thing when I was growing up, amen. Moms and dads would say, oh, you got to let your kids sow their wild oats, and you got to let them live a little bit, preacher, amen. I found out pastoring the church and dealing with young people and dealing with moms and dads and parents, and a lot of them, I try to preach to them many times, and they say, oh, preacher, you got to let them live a little bit, amen. Let them sow their wild oats, friend. I'm telling you, that's freaking rebellion. My friend, then a lot of moms and dads and a lot of young people have cost them their lives and end up in hell, amen, because of rebellion, amen. And God has never been accepted to rebellion and never will be, amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 15, we find out that it cost old Saul over there, amen. I thought about God told Saul to go down there. He told him to go down there. I thought about to destroy Amalek. And I thought about we find out where Saul rebelled, and he rebelled against God. And I thought about in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, I believe it is. And I thought about in verse number 23, the Bible said, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubborn is an iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected thee from being king. Amen. And it cost Saul, friend. It cost Saul from being king there when he rejected God. And friend, our rebellion has cost us. It's always costed mankind throughout the Word of God. And when we reject God and turn the message of God away and turn away what God's intended on us to do, then rebellion can cost you and you could end up in hell because of rebellion. Amen. I've said this so many times. The reason, Brother Jeff, we teach our kids to obey authority. Now, we got some new ones in here. And, you know, Brother C.L. tickled me. He says he left home because he got tired of everybody telling him what to do. So he'd go down there and join the military. And he thought, man, he'd have it made in there.
He said, man, they called him, stepped off that bus. He thought, man, he'd get away from mom, dad. He'd get away from everybody. He'd get away from everybody telling him what to do. He said he stepped off that bus and they called him everything but a white boy. Amen. He said, man, they ordered him around. He said, wasn't nothing but orders, orders, orders. He thought, Lord, I had it made back at home. I thought about, Lord God, we teach our children, and that's the way the military does it, obey the voice of authority. Amen. Not to rebel against authority. And let me tell you the reason we do that. Brother Jimmy, the reason we teach our children, I want my boys to behave. I want them, when I say speak, I want them to jump just as high as I tell them to. Brother John, they don't always do it, and they get in trouble and suffer the consequences. But friend, I'm telling you the reason we teach our kids to obey authority, amen, while they're yet young, while their heart's tender, that one day when they get older, when the Holy Ghost of God comes and knocks on their heart's door, that they'll be tender hearted enough to obey the authority of God and himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, and they won't die and go to hell. Amen.
That's why we teach them to obey the voice of authority. Lord, make your kids mind. Make them do what you tell them to do. Amen. I mean, we was growing up, boy, it was like boot camp around the house. I told them I went to boot camp up in Paulding County, up there on the Seals Road. That's where I went to boot camp at. My daddy wore a size 14 triple E, and we went to boot camp. We didn't do what he said. He put the boot on the camp, amen. I mean, I'm here to tell you, brother. I mean, told us what to do. Hit you up about 5:30 every morning. You had to do your chores. I mean, run you around like a hound dog all day, work you to death. And when you were tired at night, you went home and went to bed. You wasn't out in the mischief all the time, amen. I mean, I tell you, he'd tell you one time to get up. And if you didn't get up, brother, he'd look at you one time and told you to do something. And if you didn't do it, he'd beat the devil out of you. Whoop you till the smoke alarm went off, amen. And I'm telling you, teach us to obey authority. Get the rebellion out of our lives, amen. And then we start as a kid, start with young kids to do that, and to teach them to get the rebellion out of their lives so when they get older, they won't rebel against mom and dad and rebel against everybody else, amen. And I grew up in a time where everybody in the neighborhood had a right to whoop you, amen. Sister Charity teaches William in school, and she knows. I done told her. If he gets out of line, beat the devil out of him, amen. And I ain't trust my kid with her. She ain't going to hurt him. She won't hurt him. She loves him enough to be stern with him, and I want her to be stern with him. And if he don't do right, pick up a stick and beat the living devil out of him, amen. Now, some of you get mad about that. Some of you, I don't even know where they're touching my youngins, amen. Well, the next time they start to run out in the middle of the road out there, and you say, well, don't you lay a hand on my youngin. I mean, you don't want me to let them run out in front of a car, do you, amen? I mean, I'm here to tell you, I don't want everybody slapping my youngin around, slapping them in the face, and beating on and all that. But I'm here to tell you, if they're doing something wrong, the church is causing problems, get a hold of them and beat the dust off their britches, amen, thank God. I want them to be able to obey the voice of authority, whoever's in control, whoever's there at the time, amen. Get the rebellion out of them.
Yes.
Friend, there's been a lot of rebellious teenagers, a lot of rebellious, not only teenagers, rebellious moms and dads. Man, I thought I'd never thought I'd live in a day where moms and dads were so rebellious, amen. And I tell you, we'll run off and do anything and everything, and all the Lord just rebels. I mean, boy, we think, well, we'll take up the wild streak, party a while, live it up, and think we can just come walking back in, and we get done and run off all over the country and throw a shindig and a party and whatever else we want to get involved in. And so much rebellion, teaching our youngins the same lifestyle, amen. And I'm telling you, when you live such a lifestyle not pleasing to God, we're leading our youngins down the wrong pathway, and they're going to fall around the tracks of mom and daddy. And I'm telling you, you better live a life that's pleasing to God for the sake of your youngins and something else. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We'll let them do anything. And a lot of times we contribute to their rebellion. Contribute to them. Yeah, laugh and make fun and mock at them. Amen. And I thought about contribute. Well, friend, we'll not contribute to our kids' rebellion. Amen. I got two boys and mine's yet young. And I can say a lot of things tonight, Brother Charles, but I'm sure I got enough to pay for as it is already. I mean, mine's Williams, he has to stay on him every day. Smart mouth, amen. And boy, his mama stays on him all the time, continuously gets on her nerves, and
He does it to aggravate her a lot all the time, but she gets plenty of whoopings for it. I mean, she keeps. I thought I had a peach tree out there in the yard. I don't know. It's never bared peaches, amen. I mean, she keeps it pruned up real regular. And I thought about Home Depot's been in business selling paddles, man, paint paddles. We got several about that long. And, I mean, she buys plenty of them, keeps them in business, buys plenty of stock. Them Home Depot paint paddles, amen. But whoop them youngins with his rag, amen. My brother Toby said when we first started the church over here, he said for those kids 2 and under, we got a nursery for those 2 and under is a pecan tree right out there, amen. And prune it up if you need to, friend. Thank God. But I'm saying, I'm not being mean and cruel tonight. But friend, we're going to teach them not to have rebellion and get the rebellion out of their lives so it might save their soul. I tell you what the Bible said, amen. The Bible said to beat the devil out of them. That's what it said. That ain't exactly what it said. But it said, you saw about Phil, saw about sparing the rod for the child. It said to beat them with a rod of correction, amen. And it won't kill them, but it'll save their soul from hell, amen. And I'm telling you, oh, dear God, any streak of rebellion, anything in our lives, I believe the bellboy of hell shows us tonight that folks in hell full of rebellion tonight, amen. There's people that hell full of people that struck in rebellion, amen. It costs down the road. Rebellion cost me a lot of whoopings growing up.
Yes, sir.
Cost me a lot of scars.
Yes,
cost me a lot of things.
Right.
Scars. There's people probably no doubt sitting here tonight got scars on their bodies. But somewhere down the line, because of rebellion. Brother Jeff Strickland preaching down the prison with us some time back. And talking about the markings of the body. And during the 60s, the hippies run around, let their hair grow out, and grow their beards out, and it's called rebellion. Burnt their draft cards. They didn't want to go fight. They wanted to rebel against everything, rebel against the country, rebel against mom and dad. They let their hair grow out. They began to track up their body, tattoos all over their body, amen. Brother Jeff stood over night, and he said, I got a tattoo on my arm. He's in the prison, rolled his sleeve up. He said, I know a lot of you got markings on your body, and it's a sign of rebellion, amen. And he said, I'm very ashamed. He said, I'm ashamed of what he said. That's why I wear long sleeves all the time. And a lot of them don't think no more about it. They'll go around and show them off. They think it's cool now how to get them a tattoo and all this, that, and other thing. I'm telling you, it's a sign of rebellion tonight, rebelling against God and marking up your body. And I don't want none of that junk all over me, amen. Oh, God, help us tonight. I see a hell full of people in rebellion, amen.
I'll
say tonight, we look on down the road. The bellboy of hell shows us another picture tonight. He shows us the reprobate. Maybe show us the rebellion. But I thought about tonight what else we might see in hell tonight. Brother Tony, I feel like tonight the bellboy of hell takes us down the road a little further, Brother Tommy. And I thought about he might show us another picture tonight. He might show us a room of the righteous. Amen. Preacher, you saying there's righteous in hell? I believe there's righteous people in hell. I believe there's self-righteous people in hell. Amen. And I'm telling you, I believe it's full of it tonight. Put a lot of this world out. I told them last night, I said, man, a lot of us, we got a lot of them. It just got them a little do-good. Amen. A case of do-better. I thought tonight, oh, dear God, boy, they've got it all figured out. I mean, boy, they don't need nobody to tell them nothing. We're all righteous. We don't need the man of God to preach to us. And I don't know about you tonight. I need the man of God to preach the devil out of me. Every time I get a chance, amen, I want to sit on the dumb good man of God. He'll rear back, thank God, and preach to me and get the sin and iniquity out of my life. That might be hindering me, amen.
Yes, sir.
There's none righteous, none, not one. Friend, the very best we can do is filthy rags unto God. There's nothing righteous about me tonight. The only righteous I have is what's in me that He's put in there. And Him may be the Him that's living in me. The Bible said, greater is He that liveth in me than he that's in the world. Friend, there's no good thing. Nothing good about us. A lot of folks run around, well, I just don't need nobody to tell me what to do. They sang the song, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Yeah. You ain't got your own thing going with nobody, amen. Well, a lot of them think, well, we don't need the church, and we don't. I get so sick, and we go visit sometimes, and get out and visit. And I thought about it. Everybody's religious to a point, amen. And a lot of them, they'll tell you, a lot of them's an old goat, and most of them's men, amen. I can say more about the men because I know more about our lifestyle, the way we live, and we think, well, we got it all figured out, amen. We're the big man. We got it all figured out. We don't need nobody to help us. I mean, man, we can get out and we work. We're strong as ox. We can do everything we need to do. We don't need no help from nobody. I mean, that's our attitude most of the time, amen. And then they're all figured out. Got it all figured out, Brother Charles. I thought about you going to visit somebody on Sunday afternoon. And they'll say, oh, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Amen. I don't need nothing the church has got. I mean, I got it all worked out. I mean, me and Jesus got it all going on. Amen. And I'm here to tell you tonight, their hell's going to be full of folks that's self-righteous. One of these days, they think they've got it all figured out. And they think everything's going good. Everything's just right. Amen. And we've got it all worked out. And one day, they'll plunge off in eternal hell because they're self-righteous. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing that I've done. Friend, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus tonight, I wouldn't be worth 15 cents. Brother Toby said it wouldn't be worth a pinto bean with a wormhole in each end of it. Amen.
Amen.
Self-righteous. Boy, I tell you tonight, hell's full of them. Hell's going to be full of self-righteous folks. So many folks, well, I don't need the church. Friend, I don't know about you tonight. I need the church, amen. I need to be around God's people. Three reasons we come to church. There's many more reasons, amen. We come to get fueled up. We come to get fed, and we come to get fired back up again. Amen. Thank God. I thought about Brother Billy Boss the other day. He said, if nothing else, I just need to come get fired up. Amen. Thank God this world drags it out of you, this world all week long. My Sister Betty, they'll touch and carry on and raise hell all week long around you, and the world drags it out of you, drags every bit of strength just about you, God. If nothing else, I need to come to the house of God on Sunday and fuel my fire once again. Amen. And I can go back to a lost and dying world and try to be an example to somebody along the way. Amen. I need the church. Amen. I ain't got nothing against the church, thank God. There's a lot of folks. I ain't going to that church down there. Ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. But bless God, you go to work with them. Amen. I mean, you go to the grocery store with them. You go everywhere else with them. Amen. I mean, you're going to end up dying and going to hell with them. What's going to happen, friend? I need the church, Brother Tony. I need to be around God's people on a regular basis. Thank God to keep me strong. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't got nothing against the church tonight. A lot of them's got it figured out on their own. But the bellboy of hell tonight, I believe it shows us the reprobate, the rebellion, the righteous, the self-righteous. Then I want to say tonight, one more and I'll be done. Brother Toby said tonight he was going to hook a crock pot up in the back and let something smell good back there so I'd hurry up and wouldn't preach too long. Amen. And Lord God, talk about, I brushed my teeth tonight, by the way. He said this morning, you preachers need to brush your teeth. Last night, he stopped there at the pilot and got two hot dogs loaded up with onions and chili and all that. I said, you need to get some Rolaids and just stack them all the way down that hot dog and you eat them like onions because you're going to need them after a while. Amen. He said, don't you want some of these? They look good. I said, they look good, but I'm going to go home and sleep good. And I ain't eating nothing now this late at night. Amen. Last time, me and Brother William went down to jail, prison. We come back. We stopped up there and got two of them big hot dogs at the pilot. Brother Charles, his favorite food. Amen. I mean, Brother Charles, you can mention a hot dog. It looks like steak to him. Amen. Thank God we loaded them things. Brother William puts all them old peppers and that ungodly sauerkraut and all that stuff on there. I mean, he's even a communist. He don't eat cheese. Amen. I mean, I thought about dear Lord. He loaded them up and all the way home, he's complaining about his belly hurting. Amen. I mean, boy, that's Lord God. And I thought about tonight. Amen. But here tonight, we're religious. I thought about tonight, if the bellboy of hell could show us another picture tonight, he shows the reprobate, the rebellion, the self-righteous. Amen. I thought about another place I would look tonight. I thought about he might show us the religious crowd. Amen. I find in John chapter number 3, we're here. Nicodemus was a very religious man, and Jesus came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, a great teacher here. I thought about one of the great men that stood out in the eyes of society. People looked up to Nicodemus. Amen. Here he was supposed to know all the things of the Jews, friend. He's supposed to know all everything there is to know in the great schools of the great teacher. Amen. The great rabbi, if you would. I thought about hearing people and probably a pillar of society, a pillar of the community. And no doubt he probably walked around the community there and everybody looked up to him. But he was religious. Religious. But lost his old turkey. Came to Jesus by night. Jesus told him, you must be born again.
That's right.
I thought about the message John Whitfield preached, I think, over 100 sermons on you must be born again, John 3 and 7. You must be born again. I thought about one preacher preached one time, says, he preached on John 3 and 7 for about 7 weeks straight in a row. He preached on you must be born again. Amen. One of the deacons came to him in the church and said, preacher, I enjoyed the message. You've been a preacher, I like it. But said, why for 7 weeks in a row that you preached on John 3 and 7? Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. Amen. He said, deacon, because marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. Amen. There's no other way, friend, that you ever get into heaven. Friend, there's not three ways to God. There's not two ways, 10 ways, 15. There's one way, and by the way of Calvary, amen, by the way of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, I'm telling you, you can go to church Sunday after Sunday and service after service, do everything to church, and still die and go to hell. Amen. Because a religious, amen, having religion. Religion will send you straight to hell, buddy. Sir, you listen, religion will send you to hell. Ma'am, you listen to that. Young man, young lady, you listen to that. Religion will send you to hell, amen. I don't care what you do down to church. I don't care what kind of job you got, what kind of position, what kind of title. I don't care how long you've been teaching a little kid. I don't care how long you've been going to the nursing home every Sunday and singing hymns for the old women, the old men up there, and taking them groceries. You take every fruit basket you want to up there. All these things is good. Nothing wrong with that. But that will not carry you to heaven. Amen. I see them standing on the side of the road. I got a good friend of mine. He's a Shriner, and I ain't got nothing against Shriners. I ain't saying nothing bad about them. I'm sure they do a lot of good things, help a lot of people. That's fine. But he stands out there and talks about how much money he takes up for crippled and burned children. Nothing wrong with that. And he thinks that's going to get him into heaven. Amen. He told me the other day, he said, I took up $15,000 last year for crippled and burned children. Boy, I see, I know the Lord's pleased with that. I said, he may be, but what about your soul that's dying and going to hell without God? Amen. Dear God, friend, I'm telling you, it ain't no amount of money. Ain't nothing, no position, no title, nowhere worth dying and going to hell over. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you played games with God so long. Some of you, and I'm serious tonight, some of you played games with God so long, you trying to get in on mom and daddy's shirt tail, amen, on their coattail. And I told you, I've told this so many times, a woman there in Honduras, Miss America, and she's dead now, found out she passed away not too long ago. Up there, I was sitting behind the church there in 1997, we went to Honduras on a mission trip. And there, the woman run a little store there underneath her house. It was her means of making a living there. And I asked her, I said, Miss America, how long? They don't understand the term being saved over there. So you have to ask them, how long you been a Christian? And I said, Miss America, how long you been a Christian? She said, well, preacher, I've always been a Christian. She said, my mom and dad was Christians. My grandpa and grandparents was Christians. Amen. Therefore, I've always, that's why I'm a Christian, because they was. I said, Miss America, I hate to tell you this, that God does not have no grandchildren, amen. And it's a personal relationship between you and Christ Jesus, amen. It's a personal matter, and it'll come down between you and Him. I thought about Abraham when he went up on the mountain over there. Thank God he looked at everybody else, and he told them servants, said, y'all stay here. Me and the boys going to go yonder. It's between me and the Son, amen. And friend, if you ever get to God, it'll come between you and the Son. Everybody else have to stand back. It's a personal thing between you and God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
We see the religious. So many people's just religious today. The devil told them, you got plenty of time. Just go ahead and put it off. We'll get right one of these days. Religious. Religious crowd will trust in anything except what they need to trust in. Joining a church, signing a card, you can get baptized in every pool, river, lake, stream around and still die and go to hell. It's a personal thing. Brother Tony, I don't think he'll mind me saying this. I love him. I appreciate God saving him. But he went to church for a long time. But on the side of the road one morning, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, him and God done some business over on the side of the road one morning.
And I tell you, ain't nobody had to beg him to come to church since, amen.
Right.
I mean, Barry, every time the door's open, friend, you do business with God. You get down to business just like there. No matter where you are, you and somebody say, well, I tell you, I'll wait till I get to church. An old-timer said, you got to crawl down there all the way down the aisle of sawdust. And I thought about, man, friend, you ain't got to be you wherever God's dealing with your heart at, amen. It's down the creek bank, down the pasture somewhere. I thought about W.B. Gray told me I went up there and borrowed that old tent he had one time. And we got out there in the barn, amen, that old tent was laid in the corner. He said, preacher, he just started crying. He said, right there is where it happened. He said, you see that old food trough there? He said, that old feed trough there in that old barn. He said, preacher, right down there. He got tore up, couldn't talk no more. He said, preacher, that's where it happened. I said, what happened, Mr. Gray? He said, that's where God saved me. And thank God, I tell you, he liked to tore that barn upside down for the honor and glory of God. Thank God. I'm glad wherever God's a dealing, that's where you are, just stop and get in on it.
Amen.
Friend, don't go to hell. I want to come with verses on. I told you 15 years ago tonight I stood and preached my first message. I preached on the mercy of God that night. Gateway Baptist Church. Probably 150 people gathered in that little church. It didn't hold about 100 that night. I was scared to death. I thought it'd get easier as it go. It don't really get easier, Brother William. Seems like people just expect more out of you. But I found out from that night on what Paul was saying. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. I'm tired in body. I preached probably about twice as hard last night. We had 12 men. Men trembling under the power of God. You preached like this 30 years ago, Brother William, when I was just a boy. 30 years ago. Brother William preached like that night. I think we had about 15 got saved that night. People coming, falling on the altar. The night I got baptized, I think there was about 22 or 23 people got baptized that night. Man, I'm talking about folks are getting right with God. Church was doing good. But today, you preach like this, the folks will sit around, they'll mock and they'll grin, they'll figure their bowling average, they'll sit around and look at some cosmopolitan magazine, they'll laugh and smirk and make fun of the man of God. Not proper message to preach on hell anymore. But I believe if we could hear the cries of the rich man. You know, I can imagine my mind, preacher. That rich man there in hell. And he's still there, by the way. I believe tonight, I believe every time somebody else, he hears a scream. I believe every time he hears a scream, he would probably sit there and think, Lord, is that one of my kids? He told them to go back and warn. I got five brethren. Go back and warn them. And there in eternal darkness, and he hears a scream. And Brother Tony might think, Lord, that's a familiar scream. Is that one of my brethren falling off in the pits of hell? Is that one of my children? I'd hate to know. I was in the hell, amen, and knowing that I might hear a familiar scream, and it could be my little boy. It could be one of my brothers, one of my sisters. I fall off in eternal damnation. Friend, don't go to hell. It ain't worth it, amen. Hell's still a real place. Hell's still real. Stand on your feet. I'm done preaching.
Page 368, bottom of the page.
I wonder tonight, are you concerned for your own soul? Concerned for the sake of your children? Or are we concerned for loved ones? Go ahead.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me
whole again? Daddy, Mama, what are you hiding behind tonight? Concern for your children, your loved ones. You say, preacher, I'm saved. What about your loved ones? What about your parents? What about you? Young man, young lady, mom, dad, what about you tonight? Are you absolute sure, 100% sure that everything's all right between you and God? If I had any doubt, I'd hit this altar tonight. Any doubt.
about tonight. Church member, we're hiding behind our church membership.
I believe it was about 1993, Mother's Day 1993, I went to preach first time at Trinity. I preached there a couple months before they called me the pastor, Brother Jimmy. And preached on Sunday morning. I thought, man, there wasn't too many there. And everybody looked saved to me, looked fine. Brother John, that morning the Lord laid on my heart to preach on decaffeinated Christianity. That's what I preached on. Drank this coffee, and I was keeping me nervous. Stomach got bleeding off, Brother Charles. So I thought I'd get me some of that caffeine-free stuff. You know, that's like religion. It won't wake you up. It won't stir you up. It won't pick you up. And it still ain't going to take you up. So what I preached on that morning. And I said, somebody here's preached about them counterfeits. Well, somebody's come by and laid their hand on your back and said, you're all right. You come down and prayed, you're all right. My wife had went to a church. They had children's church. And somebody meant good intentions. But somebody told them there, some of the preachers said, I tell you, everybody gets saved, I'm going to give them a dollar. And they had good intentions. Didn't think probably nothing bad about it. They just want to see folks get saved. Well, every kid in children's church come down and get a dollar. Come down and say, I got saved, get a dollar. My wife got her a dollar one Sunday morning and went back and thought she was all right. Brother William, I didn't know who to preach to that morning. I just preached what the Lord laid on my heart. She came to the altar that morning and got in. Got in because somebody said, you're all right. Friend, just because somewhere along the line somebody's patted you on the back and said, you prayed, you feel better, you cried a little bit, you're all right. Everything might not be all right. You might ought to check up tonight. You might ought to check up. Might ought to check up. Religion will carry you a long ways. It's just like that little donut tire in the back of your car, a spare tire. Carry you a long ways. But well, sooner or later, it's going to drop you, friend. Sooner or later, that old dry rot tire. I've been under my truck since it's brand new. I'd probably trust it to get me home, but I wouldn't trust it to carry me far. It's dry rotted. It might carry me a little ways. And friend, religion will drop you. Religion will do the same way. Religion will do you the same way. It'll get you by for a little while. But when come one of these days when we stand before God, Brother Jeff, that religion ain't going to do us no good, amen. It ain't a hope-so. It ain't a maybe-so. It ain't a think-so. Friend, you better have a no-so, amen. You better have a no-so. I'm done preaching. Preacher, you come.
Thank you.